I'm going to now say that prayer request. Hey, Ginger.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Megan.
Welcome to Center Friends on this rainy Sunday. It's so nice to be in here and together and dry, and as the choir sang, feel the Holy Spirit in this place already. So if we can stand and begin our service by turning to hymn 32 and singing How Firm a Foundation. Thank you so much for your foundation, for this place of refuge, and for you always being our refuge, our safe place where we can go with your arms wide open each and every time we need you. Please, Lord, be with each and every one of us today. Open our hearts and our minds towards your words and your message, and be with everyone this week as we go through trials and tribulations and good times and bad. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. We'll take a moment and look at any announcements for the week or the next few weeks? Anybody have any they'd like to add or highlight?
I have two. Okay. First off, tomorrow evening is Quaker Men's Spring Fling, 603. There's going to be a meal, and then there will be a worship service in the meeting room after the meal. So 603 tomorrow, $10 a head for a meal. It's going to be baked chicken. It's going to be good. Supplied by Franklinville Diet. Second thing is there will be a band leaving the meeting house this afternoon at 4:30 sharp. We're going to Gadsdenville to go to the visitation for Wiley Shore. So if you want to go, if you want to leave the church and ride with some of the men from the meeting, 4:30 sharp, and we're going to be leaving to go to Gadsdenville.
To meet down front just for 2 seconds.
I'll highlight on a couple. Just to let you know, AP testing begins this week. Is that right? For 2 weeks. The fellowship hall and kitchen area are off limits during the day. It has to be basically complete silence or the college board will come and get you. And that may invalidate the testing for Southern Guilford, and that would just be a mess. So we want to make sure that we steer clear of the fellowship hall and kitchen area for 2 weeks beginning tomorrow during the day for AP testing. And if you see anything set up in the evening time there, please do not mess with that. Quaker Men will be rearranging it back to its original condition for AP testing, but should you see any materials or anything, please just leave those be so that there's no misadministration issues. Also, I got notified that Burnett's Chapel is having a blood drive tomorrow. They asked that we announce it. It's Monday from 2 to 6:30, so if you have some extra blood you want to give out, they'll be more than happy to take it from you. And so they're having that in their fellowship hall area from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow at Burnett's Chapel. Are there any other announcements? If not, let ushers come forward, please. Before we pray, I will remind everyone that today is the last day to turn in your Mother's Day recognition of women donation and form. So if you have that, you can place that in the offering plate, or you can give it to Sharon or myself, and we can arrange for that to be taken care of. So just be mindful of that as we take up the offering this morning. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the freedom you give us to gather together and praise you with joyful hearts and joyful voices. And we thank you that you allow us to study your word and that we can do that in safety. Lord, we know that the resources you give us are those that you provided to us as a blessing. So let us go out and take the blessings that we give in honor of you and in honor of your son Jesus and do your will and do your work. Be your hands and feet of the gospel so that we can teach others the message of the cross. Lead us and guide us as we spend these resources to the kingdom and to the praise of your son Jesus. In his holy name, amen.
To help me tell the story today. Lincoln, can you tell them who these guys are?
Cherry and
Trudy. They're Lathan's newest little chicks. That's good, Dave. So careful. That's so good. Rubbing their little head. Good job. Okay, well, have you guys ever seen a mother hen with her chicks? you ever seen a mama hen? We've seen lots of chicks, but I don't know that I've ever seen with the mama hen, but you know what they do? They follow the mama hen around everywhere. She leads them all over the yard, showing them where to get food. She shows them where to get food. She is always watching over them, and the little chicks know not to wander far from her. And whenever the mother hen senses danger, guess what she does? And I'll put them up because I'm going to show you some pictures now. So whenever she senses danger and something's happening that she doesn't like, she lifts up her wings, and the little baby chicks, what do? They hide under her. Look at them. I think so. Look how they're sitting over there. Yeah, they're sitting on top of her. So the mama hen, look how they're all nestled in there. Isn't that sweet? So the mama hen lifts up her wings, and she keeps them dry when it might be raining. She keeps them warm, because don't you think it's probably warm under her wings? Her body heat keeps them warm. And she protects them from danger. And guess what? The Bible tells us that God is a lot like a bird or a hen who protects and watches over her chicks. He watches over us and protects us so we don't have to be afraid. So in Psalm 91:4-5, he says, "He will shield you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers, and his faithful promises are your armor and protection." So just like a mama bird watches over these little chicks here, just like they'll go underneath her wings and be safe, I want you guys, next time you're feeling scared or sad or lonely or you're upset about something, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture Jesus opening up his arms and smiling and just giving you the biggest hug ever, like that mama hen does with her baby chicks, because God is just like that. He wants to protect us from any harm. And anytime we feel scared or sad or alone, all we have to do is pray, and Jesus is right there to open up his arms and keep us safe like a mama hen with her chicks. Okay, can we say a little prayer? And I think the chicks are going to help say our prayer because they're still talking to him, so they might help us pray, okay? Dear Lord, thank you so much for each and every one of these little sweet children here today, Lord. Thank you for always opening your arms to them, Lord, and being with them each and every step of the way. Lord, when they're feeling scared or sad or lonely, Lord, please help for them to always feel you right there beside them. For in your name we pray.
And for those who didn't hear him, that little chicken was trying to poop on him. That's what he said. This morning we're going to look at our praises and prayer requests, and like I keep in tradition, did anyone see God this week? Did anyone have a wonderful experience, a God moment that they'd be willing to share? That maybe they had a revelation, or that Jesus revealed himself to them and through a nature, through a message, through a friend. Anything anybody wants to share? Well, I would encourage you to continue to keep your eyes open, that God is always there with you, and that there are times that he reveals himself to us, and it may be in the worst of times where we see his power and his glory, and maybe in the best of times where we see his love and his uplifting light inside of each one of us. So if you are too busy, I ask you to slow down. If you're too noisy, I ask you to be still and be silent and open your eyes and open your ears and open your hearts, because God's all around us, and we just got to be able to see him. So are there any prayer requests we need to lift up this morning? Of course, Wiley Shore passed away, I think Don described it, 2 midnights ago. He just passed away on midnight. 2 days ago. So that service will be at Gentry Family Services from 6 to 8, the visitation today up in Yadkinville. And then the celebration of life will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Deep Creek Friends. So we keep the Shore family in your prayers, and all those that that Wiley touched over the years through Friends Disaster Service, we need to remember them as well, that he left a legacy and planted a seed in so many different places all over the country in helping those recover from natural disasters. I ask that you continue to remember me, as I'm still sound like a frog and still dealing with these allergies issues. I'm hoping that all this rain will take care of that in the next day or so, but I think it's starting to get a hold of everybody now. So folks that aren't used to being sick are being sick now, so it's kind of putting a damper on our style. So are there any other updates or any other prayer requests we need to talk about?
Prayer request. So a praise that we did receive a diagnosis for Caroline this week. It's a big word called dysautonomia. But a prayer request, it will be a journey to recovery. So if you guys could still continue keeping her in your prayers, it's not going to be a fast recovery, but we do have a light at the end of the tunnel.
Wonderful news. There's a name you can put with the illness. That's a good start. Remember Forest Shore and Faith, as they are still battling the crud. I think Forest, they went on a trip, and then the family kind of passed around a stomach bug, and then now Forest has all this going on right now. So just remember him as he continues to heal, because he's got a lot of work we need him to do, and we appreciate his presence here. Are there any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again, we come to you today to praise you. We celebrate the risen Christ. We celebrate our freedom from sin, and our bondage has been broken, and we thank you for that. We're so honored that we can have that freedom. Lord, and we thank you so much that you allow us to come to you, that we can place our needs and our hurts, our sicknesses at the foot of the cross, and that you take those and you nail them to that cross and you take them on your physical body and you provide healing to ours. We know that there are difficulties in life and that journeys have to be traveled. We have your word that gives us the different journeys that folks had to endure to receive your kingdom. Lord, and that journey continues with us here today, 2,000 years later. That through illnesses, through death, through stuff, through unspoken requests, you know what's on our hearts. You've heard the needs today. You've defeated the grips of death by giving us your Son. And we know that there's an eternal life waiting for us should we choose to engage in that wonderful relationship that you want with us, that we can have that eternal life after the physical death. Lord, as people battle illnesses, answers are being given slowly but surely, and that we know with patience and with faith and with hope, you'll show us love. Give us those answers. Continue to heal us. Be with those who are scientists, because you created science. You give us the answers of the creation of the world. You know the needs. You know the hurts. You know the tears. With every tear that falls, you provide a dry hand that lifts us up and catches those. You hold us in your light, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the praises. There may be unspoken folks that may not be comfortable speaking about the God moments they've experienced. Lord, help us open our eyes, remove the scales from our eyes and the rocks around our hearts, that we can see you working in even the worst of situations, and that we can celebrate those and we can share those with one another, all for your glory and your praise. Lord, I just thank you so much for these people. I thank you for the hearts that they have and the lights that they shine. I thank you for the work that has to be done, and that you use us as your hands and your feet to continue the message of the cross through a world that so desperately needs it and is so desperately hurt and broken. And again, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
pilgrims on the moon.
Who dangers
burdened down with sorrows,
and who
shut down every hand.
We are
looking for a city built above.
Oh yes, we're
looking here and there, looking
for
a city
yonder
where we'll live.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm thankful that there's a city above that I'm going to be going to because I believe in the Lord, right? And I'd say Ginger's back and she's doing just fine, no matter what she says. Well, this morning's message is a little bit different. You know me, I'm the oddball of the group. I want to do things a little different. So, ladies, I may make you mad in the first 10 minutes. I'll go ahead and tell you. But I promise you, if you'll stick with me and don't turn me off, I promise you I'll come back around and you'll be like, oh, okay, all right. So the title of this morning's message is A Woman's Place. But I want to give a warning before we do anything. I want to tell the guys here, I want to make sure everybody's listening, all right? All the guys are listening. Mother's Day is next Sunday, okay? Let me repeat that. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Now, what I've done for you is I have blessed you and I have cursed you. The blessing is I've reminded you a full whole week. Very important day that you need to celebrate. But I've also cursed you because if you forget, that either means two things. You've forgotten or you don't listen in church. And those are two things that you'll be convicted for. And so make sure that you go out and you get that card or buy that gift or help the kids get their gifts together, plan something special. Let it be about them. Let it be about them. Okay, they do enough. They do more than enough. So guys, I'm pricking your hearts today to say if you don't normally do something, the preacher is telling you to do something. Okay? Because that's what we need to do. We need to lift our women up. We need to love them. So, we're going to be in the book of Romans, or the letter of Romans, actually. And before we get too deep into it, I'm going to let you know that this was an epistle that Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. And they were not a Christian church in the sense of how we would think of a church being in a building and all that. They actually had house churches. Sound familiar, Quakers? They actually met in houses. But he concludes the letter here, and he's mentioning some personal greetings, and that's what we're going to talk about. It's just the first greeting that he gives. But he writes the letter with a theme of discussing God's righteousness to the Christians in Rome. And we can read throughout the 16 chapters that he's talking about the sinfulness of humanity and warnings against the sinfulness of humanity that we can't help. But he also gives the hope and the forgiveness of the sin through Christ. And he says that we're free from the grip of sin. We're free from the grip of death. And then he talks about Israel's future, because that was the promised land. That was what the kingdom is building up for, was Israel's future. Now, we're not going to cover all 16 chapters this morning. We're actually going to cover two verses. And we'll be in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. And Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord, a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. So that's pretty simple. One, two little verses, and it talks about this person named Phoebe. And so we're going to talk a little bit about who Phoebe was and what she did. So very little is actually known about Phoebe. This is the only time that she's actually mentioned in the Bible. It's this one time, one sentence, that's it. And so there's been some research done on who she was, because there are actually pictures, paintings of who this Phoebe was. You know, the Catholics, they do pictures of different saints and different folks, and so they had a picture of who this deacon Phoebe is. But she played a very important role in the church of Cenchrea. That's where she was going, and that's where she was attending, was that church. And she traveled to Rome to deliver Paul's letter. So with that task of having to deliver that letter, we know that Paul looked at her as a lay leader, that she was a very important person to him, because you're trusting a letter that's being sent from miles and miles away with one person. They didn't have U.S. mail. They didn't have FedEx or UPS. So this one person, and in those times, a female, was given a letter and trusted to deliver that to Christians. There's some discussion about she's possibly a very wealthy businesswoman because of the word benefactor used here, and that she would donate or she would take care of folks financially and lift those up as a missionary through finances. But it's interesting that Paul chose her to speak on first, which shows her importance to him and to the mission of Christ. And she was the messenger. She may have been a traveler through business, which made her delivering the letter a lot easier. It's believed that she delivered that message from Paul to the churches in Rome. But one thing Paul says here, and he says, Phoebe is a sister. He described her as our sister Phoebe. And the use of our tells us that she had a connection to those who Paul was writing to, that she was part of the of the group. She was a Christian. She was a follower of Jesus because he said, our sister. And his letter was directed to those Christians, and by including Phoebe as our sister, she could be trusted. But then they were meeting in houses to hide. They were meeting in houses for the Romans that wouldn't come and martyr them. She was a valued member of God's family. And another thing that he mentions is that he calls her a deacon. Another translation is that she's considered a servant. There's another translation I read that there's a different explanations of what that is. And that word that was used in Greek stands for deacon. Paul uses the word for deacon or minister in such a way to describe her service to the church. And that she obviously held some important position. Maybe not officially. Maybe not a title on her door in her office. But she held a position of leadership in Christ's church. We don't know what that specific role was, but we know it was important because she was the messenger. And then he goes on to say, receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people. In a separate translation, his people is translated into saints. Receive her in the way of the Lord. Receive her in the Lord, a way worthy of saints. So Paul asked the church in Rome to receive her in such a way that she would be acknowledged as holy, or acknowledged a saint as someone who is going to be in heaven after death, one definition of it, or someone who is holding a holy status. So there's no doubt, we know for a fact, that Paul held her in a high regard. And that's unusual for this time period. It's unusual. So wrapping up Phoebe, she was a member of God's family. She is a sister. She was a servant of the church, and she was regarded as a saint, as a holy individual, as one who would be in heaven upon her death with the Lord. She delivered the wonderful message in Romans, and she was a female who held a position of importance in the ministry. But that's Phoebe. That's the history part. That's the dirt part of the message of what Paul wrote. But I want to ask you a question, and I don't want anyone to answer out for fear of saying the wrong thing, so I don't want anybody to say anything. I just want you to listen to the question. I'm going to say something. I want you to think of an answer that comes to your mind, but I don't want you to answer it for fear of your bodily injury. A woman's place is in. I told you I was going to make y'all mad. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like, huh, what you going to say next? You see why I didn't want anybody to answer out. I'm supposed to protect the lives of the people of Guilford County. So I'm doing that from the pulpit. A woman's place is in. Now I can see there's a little stirring. Even when I said it, it's like the tension just went up. Some people have said, but I assure you, I have not. Let me be real clear about that. That a woman's place is in the kitchen. A woman's place is in the home. You know you've heard it. And if you've said it, let's pray right now. But a woman's place is in silence. There are some countries that believe that. A woman's place is barefoot and pregnant. A woman's place is in submission to her husband. Paul tells us that in Ephesians, that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands as you do to the Lord. However, churches take that and they forget the first verse before it. And it says, submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. They skip that sentence sometimes in some of the more hardcore denominations, and they just stick with the wives submit to your husband's part and stay barefoot pregnant in the kitchen in the house and in silence. But they miss that part of submit to yourself, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there's a mutual submission in that relationship if both are committed to the Lord. And in a marriage, both should be committed to the Lord. But that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother day. But a woman's place is what? Well, the answer is in the first two verses this morning. What can we take away what a woman's place is in 52 simple words? Well, the first place a woman's place is in the family of God. A woman's place is in the family of God. Paul immediately places Phoebe in the family of God by calling her our sister. She's to be received in Rome as a believer in the Christian faith. Paul loved her and held her as his spiritual sister in Jesus. And just like Phoebe, if you believe in the power of the risen Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit to do God's mission, you are a brother and sister in Christ. Now, you may think this about your own family, but some families put the fun in dysfunctional. We all have those relatives who make you question their genetic connections. But as a church, we're a family. We're God's family. And we are dysfunctional sometimes. So the question comes when a woman's place is in the family of God is, are we as loving to those outside of our family as those that are in? Are we as accepting of our other brothers and sisters in the Lord? As your brother in Christ, which I am, I want our family to be as big as possible. I want it to be huge. I want all these brothers and sisters that have the same desire regardless of where we are in our journey. There are so many lonely people around the world. I did some research and found a survey in 2018 of 20,000 people. And it found that most of them answered that they found themselves to be lonely. And that's just 20,000. That is less than 1% of 1% kind of number. Those 18 to 22 years old and 23 to 37 years old, the Generation X and the Millennials, have been deemed the loneliest and have worsening health because of it. Folks, that's our young people. That's our young people. They're the loneliest. As a member of the family of God, we have the assurance of not being lonely. I know I have family members, brothers and sisters in God's family, who will help bear my crosses. They do every day. The Christian church is not an exclusive club for the elite. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Jesus lays it out clearly. He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come to me, all who are rich and wealthy, and I will give you a pool. It says, if you're tired, if you're lonely, man or woman, your place is in God's family. The church is for the broken, the lost, the lonely, the excited, the sad, the mad, the glad, the ugly, the pretty, the crying, the smiling. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to help those recognize the light inside of others. There is a place for everyone in God's family. John 1:19 is a great passage. The true light, John 1:9 through 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but here's the important part, but born of God. That's a family member. So ladies, a woman's place is in God's family. The second place, a woman's place is in the service of others through the power of Christ. A woman's place is through the service of others through the power of Christ. Phoebe was hailed as a deacon or a servant in the church. Paul tells us that. He tells us she was a benefactor of many people and was a great help to his ministry. Much like Phoebe, we're called to be servants to others through the love of Christ. Not the love of ourselves, but the love of others. Much like a family member, we should pull our own weight in this family. That can be a touchy subject in churches. Everyone has an equal cross, an equal part of the cross to carry. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside each one of us, placing that desire to care for others inside of us. That's what it's about. It's seeing others, in service to others, and loving one another as Jesus commanded. It can mean many different things for different people. Some provide love and support through words, through food, or hugs. Others fulfill the call through financial contributions, material needs, or time. Some go on mission trips to rebuild villages. Others go and share the message of Jesus in places where it's dangerous. Regardless of what the call is, you, sisters and brothers, in the family of God, are called into service. Your number's been picked. You've been drafted. Preachers answer a call to the ministry. I believe everyone has a call to the ministry in their own way. We know folks have their gifts. Everyone has a gift. It's finding out what that gift is so that we can be a service to others in the name of Christ. As a member of God's family, we need to become an active participant in the greatest message of the world. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, tells us, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Because the hope at the end of that is that surely I am with you all of the days to the very end of the age. So in doing so, and in going out and making disciples of the nations and being service to others, God will be there. Christ will be with us to the very end of the age. A woman's place is in the service of others through the power of Christ. A woman's place is in God's glory. A woman's place is in God's glory. Phoebe was to be received in a way worthy of the saints, worthy of God's people, as a sister and brother in Christ, as a servant of the Lord. You are in God's favor and will be in the presence of His glory. You see how the first two build on this one. So you're in God's family. Everyone's place is in God's family, and everyone's place is in the service to others through the Lord Jesus Christ. To culminate to the very end, everyone's place is in God's glory. How awesome is that, to be treated like a saint? That when we are done with this world, and we roll up yonder because the roll is being called, how awesome is that? That none of this will matter. But the fact that we're in God's family. It'll be a family reunion, all right? We are children of God if we choose to acknowledge it. If we choose to serve others as Christ did, we have God's favor and we will receive the glory of the saints. In one of my favorite passages, in one of my favorite books, John writes in Revelation 19, and this is just an awesome praise verse. "Amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you His servants who fear Him, both great and small.' Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. Amen.'" How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Paul recognized the importance of Phoebe in the furthering of Christ's ministry through him. He was the feet on the ground. He was the boots. He was the worker. He was writing letters. He was preaching the gospel. He was growing the Christian church. We have the same equal importance in the world today. This description of Phoebe, although very short, gives us insight into what a woman's place really is. A woman's place is alongside anyone else in the family of God, serving others in the name of Jesus for the ultimate reward of God's glory. That's a woman's place. Anything to the lesser is wrong. Men, we have saints all around us this morning. They're our sisters in Christ, they're our fellow servants, and they're going to enjoy glory with the rest of us, hopefully. They've spent a lifetime serving the least of us and continue to serve the least of us. We have a lot to learn from these wonderful women. Let me repeat that. so the guys can hear me. Because it's on record. It's being recorded. So if you need to play it back, women, you know, go to the website and play it for them on the radio. We have a lot to learn from these powerful saints around us. They give us a living example of strength and love and compassion and discipline and light. I look around at our little ones and I see our future. What does our future look like in our young people today, our future women? Many young girls today, all over the world, are facing barriers of low self-esteem and worthlessness. Things like trafficking here in America. Loneliness, weaknesses, bullying. They seek validation from dangerous places. As the disciples of Christ, it's up to us to be the hands and the feet of the gospel. It's up to us to teach our young people, our young girls, these future powerful women, that a woman's place is in God's family, a woman's place is in Christian service to others, and a woman's place will be in God's glory. Because there are no better places with bigger impacts for a woman to be. I'm going to close our message in prayer. Father God, I thank you again for today. I thank you that you've given me the words to say, that you've given us the words written to study. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you so much for what you've done for us. And I lift up our women today, our girls, our women all over the country, all over the world, and in this church. Powerful, powerful women that you've used in your ministry for thousands of years. How holy are they in your sight? That they are our sisters in your family, and that we are all your children. I just lift them up right now, Lord. I just ask that you place your hand of protection on everyone. Every young girl that's battling whatever yuck, whatever stuff, whatever Satan is placing their way, that you remove that and you give them that power and that understanding that they are strong, strong disciples of you. And that they belong in the family of God. That is a woman's place. Lord, we just love you today and we thank you so much for your son Jesus in his holy name. Amen.
working in the school system, I'm constantly amazed and disgruntled and disheartened by what young people are going through. And you don't have to look very far to find some really bad situations that kids are in through absolutely no fault of their own. And so I don't have anything I've really like enlightened or anything to say, but I am just feeling led that like there are so many kids that need just a consistent person in their life who tells them, you know, you are loved, and if you feel led to share, you know, like God loves you and you are special and you need to make good choices for yourself because you are worth those good choices. That, you know, there's so many kids that just need that in their life. So if you feel the least bit inclined to mentor in a school or to go to like a community volunteer center and say, you know, can you match me with a kid? There's all kinds of lunch buddy programs and after school tutoring that really doesn't take that much time. And if you're feeling any bit of question, like maybe I could volunteer for a couple hours. I know people do a lot of great things here and a lot of people are already doing that. But if there's anybody or you know of somebody that's maybe saying, I've got some extra time, I wish I could do something, please encourage them to do that. Even though school year is ending, a lot of this could start back up in when the school year starts again, and there's a lot of kids that need a lot of help.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Tommy. I have to say at first, I was thinking, well, you can duck from them, but you can't duck from me. But what a wonderful message to receive, and how wonderful it is to be part of a faith community that builds its women up instead of tearing them down. So I just feel blessed for that today. Let us conclude by standing and singing hymn 456, My Jesus, I Love Thee, verses 1 and 4.
Great week.
complimented to her last